Welcome to the Air Force Doctrine Podcast. I am Jason Baggett of the Air Force LeMay Center for Doctrine Development and Education. And today, we are diving into a discussion of our newest Air Force Doctrine publication, Air Force Doctrine Note 25-1, Artificial Intelligence. This Doctrine Note is meant to be a resource for airmen navigating the rapidly evolving landscape of artificial intelligence. It offers timely guidance on integrating AI capabilities across the service's core missions and casts a vision for the role of AI in air power moving forward. We wanted to explore this Doctrine Note in a podcast, but we decided to do something different than our normal podcast structure of interviewing a key leader in an operational arena while discussing issues pertinent to doctrine. For this podcast, we are leveraging an AI tool to assist us. The discussion of the AI Doctrine Note you are about to hear was created entirely using Google Notebook LM's Deep Dive Conversation feature, and you'll probably notice the AI-generated voices sound more natural and are easier to listen to than my own. We left this discussion unedited. All verbal pauses, voice inflections, and possible mispronunciations give a great example of how well this particular AI tool is able to mimic natural speech patterns and tone. But please, let me reiterate. Generative AI tools like Notebook LM make errors in the mimicking of human reasoning and interpretation. In fact, the AI-generated portion of this podcast includes misinterpretations, overhyping of some AI capabilities, and omission of key information we feel is critical within the Doctrine Note. At times, the errors are also not in line with the intent and tone of the Doctrine Note. For these reasons, we encourage you to read AFDN 25-1 and then compare your understanding to the information shared in the AI-generated portion of this podcast. Now, for a little more about the AI tool we used. Notebook LM is a Retrieval Augmented Generation, or RAG, large language model. The only data provided to Notebook LM was a PDF of AFDN 25-1. The LLM's Deep Dive Conversation feature took over from there. But let me give a quick disclaimer. The use of Google Notebook LM for this podcast is not meant to be an official endorsement in any way by the U.S. Air Force or Department of Defense. There are many awesome commercially available AI tools ranging from chatbots to image generators to writing assistants and even to coding assistants. In fact, I would like to recommend our listeners explore the U.S. Air Force and DoD developed large language models like NipperGPT and CamoGPT, which offer information protection capabilities we need as military and government experts. We accept that our listeners' experience with AI tools will vary greatly. Some will be unimpressed with the use of a RAG LLM to create a podcast episode, while others will still be in the wow phase. Regardless, we'd encourage everyone to smartly experiment with all the AI-enabled tools you can, and look for ways you can leverage AI in the execution of your mission. And lastly, we started our project to write AFDN 25-1 approximately 1 year ago through initial conversations with our experts at Air Force Research Laboratory. Over that time, we sought to make the Doctrine Note a snapshot of where the Air Force is right now with its integration of AI. That goal became largely unachievable because of the expansive nature of AI integration already underway within the Air Force and the awe-inspiring speed of innovation. So, some of you may find that the examples provided in the Doctrine Note are becoming stale, or we are developing better solutions now. And that is okay. And while we can envision a follow-up podcast with some of our AI experts and leaders to discuss the vision for AI in the Air Force and another snapshot in time for Air Force AI. Enough of me talking. We hope you enjoy the discussion of AFDN 25-1 and the role of AI in air power.
All right, so, you know, like, we're always talking about trying to stay ahead of the curve, right? Like, how do we really understand these big, huge developments without spending every waking moment reading reports and, like, just getting totally bogged down? Well, today we've got something really big. It's not an exaggeration to say it's groundbreaking.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's not just another report. It's the Air Force putting down a marker, you know, laying out how they see the future.
We are talking about the just released Air Force Doctrine Note 25-1.
25-1.
Or AFDN 25-1, if you want to sound, you know, in the know. And the title really says it all, artificial intelligence. So, you know, this isn't some minor tweak or update. This is a big, loud statement. The Air Force sees AI as, well, revolutionary. And they're saying it's going to touch every part of how they operate. It's, well, honestly, I think it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, no, I agree. And what makes this so important right now is that, you know, it's not just theoretical. This Doctrine Note, it really captures this feeling that AI is ready to be used to actually make air power better. We're just starting to really understand what that means.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to do today. Dive deep with you. We're going to pull out the big core ideas from AFDN 25-1, see what it says about AI, about how it can be used by the Air Force, you know, all across the board. And look, we'll talk about the big questions too, the things we need to think about carefully if we're going to do this right. We want to make sure you understand this because honestly, it's a big deal. So where do we even start with something this big? I guess let's just jump right into the potential, right? I mean, AFDN 25-1, it really paints this amazing picture of what AI could do.
For sure. And they start off strong. And, you know, they make this comparison to other huge changes in how wars are fought, like those moments when a new technology comes along and everything is different. And it really makes you think, you know, like, are we at one of those moments again?
It really does. I thought the example of the British bomb in World War II was fascinating. Cracking the Enigma code, I mean, with what was basically like an early computer, that changed everything in the Battle of the Atlantic.
Absolutely.
And when you think about it that way, it kind of sets a really high bar for AI, yeah. You know? It makes you wonder what could be possible.
Yeah, and they go on to talk about early supercomputers and how even though they were limited, they were key for developing space programs, missile programs, all that. And then you have silicon semiconductors, which basically paved the way for, you know, the smart weapons, the precision we saw in Desert Storm. So there's this thread, right? Computing gets better and the military changes in a big way.
And AFDN 25-1 is saying that, like, now we're in this totally data-driven world, you know, thanks to all the crazy innovation happening in the commercial sector with our phones and everything and universities everywhere. We've got these insanely fast computers, huge data sets, powerful analytics coming out of machine learning. It's like this perfect storm almost. It's just ripe for these new AI technologies. And the document says it, you know, seemingly unlimited possibilities. I mean, come on, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's a really bold statement. And when you look at the specific things they highlight, like the promises for the USAF, it's a lot to take in. Take, for example, the idea of AI supercharging ISR, intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance. That alone has the potential to completely change how we understand the battle space.
You know, that's what I was really interested in. The idea of, like, you've got these networks of sensors,
right?
And they can spot hidden threats, even if we don't know anything about them beforehand. I mean, that's just, it blows my mind a little.
And it's not just about, you know, reacting to what we already know. The idea is that AI could analyze all the data coming in from the sensors from everywhere.
Hmm.
And it could pick out anomalies, like patterns that might mean there's a new threat, one we haven't even thought of yet. It's like, we're not waiting to be surprised. We're actively looking for the unknown.
That's wild. And then, of course, there's robotics, which is, well, I mean, everyone thinks about robots when they think about AI. And the idea of AI making them even better and then having these swarms of autonomous, you know, agents doing all the things that humans do now, it almost sounds too sci-fi to be real. But this document is saying, no, this is a real possibility.
And it goes even further than that. It's not just about replacing humans. It's about, like, making humans better. Think about training.
Hmm.
Imagine AI that can, like, instantly create scenarios, these virtual training environments where pilots, analysts, everyone can practice, learn, adapt. And the machines can learn, too,
mm-hmm.
right alongside them.
Right. And you can run through so many different situations, so many what ifs. It's like on a totally different level than what we can do now. And it doesn't stop at training. AFDN 25-1 talks about AI helping planners with, like, super complicated stuff like allocating resources, running war games, all based on data analysis.
And
if that's the future, that's a big advantage.
It is. And then there's the global picture, right? The implications for international relations.
Mm-hmm.
The document even suggests that AI could be used to design and run cooperation programs, you know, with other countries.
Yeah.
And maybe even find new partnerships we wouldn't have considered before. It's like AI isn't just about war fighting. It's about diplomacy, too.
Right. And at the end of the day, like, the U.S. being a leader in AI, doing it the right way, ethically, securely, all that, that's not just about us. It's about setting the standards for everyone. It's about making sure this technology is used for good, not, you know, for bad.
Totally agree. And I think, you know, the core message here is that AI is going to give commanders at every level, from the tap down to the tactical edge, they're going to have more information, better information. They'll be able to see patterns that we might miss. It's about making better decisions, faster decisions. And that, I think that's really the key to winning wars in the future.
Okay, so the potential, as we've seen, is huge, like truly massive. But the document doesn't just stop there, right? It also takes a hard look at the the risks and challenges that come with AI.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't just, you know, get caught up in the hype. We have to be realistic. And one thing that AFDN 25-1 points out is that AI is, well, it's already a force multiplier. Like, it's out there, people are using it. And that means even countries that don't have as many resources as the U.S., they can still use AI to punch above their weight, to maybe try to challenge the U.S. So we can't assume we'll always have this technological advantage.
And the document really zeroes in on great power competition, you know? They specifically talk about China and how they want to be the global leader in AI by 2030, and how they're already using it for things like surveillance, which is, well, that's a little worrying. It really puts the pressure on the U.S. to stay ahead.
Right. And AFDN 25-1 doesn't, like, name names too much, but it's clear they're thinking about, well, you know, adversaries and how AI could be used against us.
And they also talk about how AI development is happening all over the place, right? In companies, universities, and obviously the military. That seems like a good thing, but it also seems like it could be, well, kind of messy, right? I mean, all these different groups, they might have different goals, different roles.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's something we have to be very aware of. Like, how do we manage all these collaborations? How do we make sure that the AI we develop is aligned with the Air Force's values, you know, with what we stand for? It's not just about building cool technology. It's about building the right technology.
Okay, so the message so far is AI has amazing potential, but we have to be smart about it. We need to be aware of the downsides, too. And the Air Force gets that. And that brings us to, like, the next big section in AFDN 25-1, which is all about laying out the basic terms, the vocabulary of AI. I mean, given how fast this field is moving, having everyone on the same page language-wise is crucial, right?
Totally. The document even acknowledges that like, AI is moving so fast that, well, a lot of people don't even know what all the words mean anymore. So AFDN 25-1 tries to clarify things specifically for how the Air Force is going to use AI. They point out that the official definitions usually come from, you know, laws and executive orders. But this section, it's meant to give airmen a practical understanding of the terms.
All right, so let's start with narrow AI, or sometimes you hear it called weak AI. What's the gist there?
Okay, so the doctrine note describes these systems as, you know, really focused. Like, they can do one specific thing really well.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't really learn new things or adapt to something different than what they were programmed to do. They're kind of like a really specialized tool for one very particular job.
So, like, a program that can, I don't know, recognize faces in a photo, but it couldn't suddenly start translating a conversation. Like, it has these really clear limits.
Yeah, exactly. Now, on the other end, we have artificial general intelligence, or AGI. This is the big one, right? This is like the AI that everyone imagines, like the AI that's as smart as a human or even smarter, that can learn anything, understand anything, just like a person. But AFDN 25-1 makes it very clear, AGI doesn't exist right now. Okay. Like, we're not there yet, and it might be a long, long way off.
So all those movies with, like, the super intelligent AI taking over the world, that's not what we're talking about here.
No, definitely not.
It's more about these narrow focused applications for now. Okay, what about expert systems? I haven't heard that one as much.
Yeah, so these are systems that are designed to help human experts, to make them better at their jobs. And they do that by taking all the knowledge that those human experts have, you know, the rules, the experience, and turning it into code or mathematical models. And that way the system can help solve problems in that specific area. AFDN 25-1 uses the example of, like, a medical diagnosis system. It could have access to, like, tons of medical knowledge, right?
Yeah.
But ultimately, a human doctor is still the one who makes the final decision.
That makes sense. So it's like taking all that human brain power and giving it a turbo boost with AI. Okay, now let's talk about machine learning. That's the term everyone throws around these days. How does AFDN 25-1 explain it?
So machine learning, or ML for short, is basically about teaching computers to learn from data.
Mm-hmm.
But without having to program them with, like, every single rule or instruction, the AI figures out the patterns, the relationships, and the data by itself, and then uses what it's learned to make predictions or decisions about new data it's never seen before. It's pretty amazing.
It is. And it seems like it can do some pretty incredible things. Like, AFDN 25-1 mentions AI beating human champions at really complex games. But the document also makes a point about how even with those achievements, a lot of that success is because humans put in a lot of work at the beginning, right? Like setting the stage, you know, giving the AI the basic knowledge to build from.
Yeah, that's a really important point. Like, it's not always as simple as, oh, the AI just learned by itself. There's often a lot of human ingenuity and knowledge baked into the whole process.
All right, so let's move on to training data and test data. These sound pretty self-explanatory, but what are the key things to keep in mind here?
So the big thing is the training data. That's what the AI learns from. That's its education. And the quality of that data, how much of it there is, how diverse it is, all of that directly affects how well the AI will perform when it's, you know, out in the real world. And then you have test data, which is like the final exam. It's kept separate. And then the AI has to use what it's learned to analyze that test data. And that gives us an idea of how well it's actually learned. AFDN 25-1 also makes it clear that, you know, learning doesn't stop. Like, the world changes, the data changes, and AI models might need to be reevaluated, maybe even retrained.
So it's not a set it and forget it kind of thing. It's more like a continuous process of improvement. Okay, what about neural networks and deep learning? These sound a little more technical.
Yeah, they are. But they're really important to understand. So neural networks they're basically inspired by the way the human brain works. Like, they have all these interconnected layers of artificial neurons. And,
yeah.
And AFDN 25-1 explains that, you know, in the past, these networks were really hard to use because they needed so much computing power. But now with computers getting so much faster and all the data we have, they've become much more practical and powerful.
Okay, so it's like, we finally have the tools to make these brain-inspired systems really work. What about deep learning? Is that like the next level?
You could say that. Deep learning is basically just neural networks that have like multiple hidden layers. So not just one, but many. And that means they can learn from much more complicated data. They can find these really subtle patterns that a simpler network would miss.
Mm.
So deep learning it's really at the heart of a lot of the most exciting AI stuff happening right now.
All right. So deep learning equals more layers, more complexity, more power. Got it. What about natural language processing? I always think of like Siri or Alexa when I hear that one.
That's a good example. So natural language processing, or NLP, is all about getting computers to understand human language, to make sense of the words we use, the way we talk, even the way we write. And it uses things like deep learning to do that. So it's powering all sorts of things, from translating languages to understanding voice commands to those virtual assistants you mentioned, Siri and Alexa.
And then there's generative AI, which seems to be like the hot topic these days. How does AFDN 25-1 explain that one?
So generative AI is a little different. It's not just about understanding data. It's about creating new data. So it learns the patterns in existing data, whether it's like text, audio, images, video, whatever. And then it uses that knowledge to create something new that looks or sounds like the original data. And there's a related idea, multimodal AI, which is all about systems that can like understand and work with different types of data at the same time, like images and sound or text and video. It's pretty wild.
So not just analysis, but actual creation. That's a big leap. And then the document mentions large language models, or LLMs, like ChatGPT. How do those fit into the picture?
So LLMs are a specific kind of AI. They're really good at understanding and generating text. And they do that by basically analyzing huge amounts of text, like books, articles, you name it. And they figure out the statistical relationships between words and phrases and all that. And then they can use that to create new text that sounds really human-like. So ChatGPT is a really popular example of an LLM, and it's pretty impressive what it can do.
Yeah, it is. All right, last one on the list, computer vision. That sounds like it's about giving AI the ability to like actually see and understand images and video.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the goal. So computer vision uses things like image processing and deep learning to extract information from visuals. Like, it analyzes images at the pixel level, and it can be used for all sorts of things, from facial recognition and object detection to like helping self-driving cars navigate and even analyzing medical images.
Okay, so that's a really good rundown of the AI basics.
Yeah.
Now, AFDN 25-1 also spends some time talking about the difference between automation and autonomy. Why is that distinction so important for how the Air Force is thinking about AI?
It's really key to understanding the whole approach. So automation, the way they define it, is it's all about systems that can do really specific repetitive tasks. Like, think of a robot on an assembly line doing the same weld over and over again. It doesn't have to make decisions. It just follows instructions.
So it's about doing something very efficiently over and over again.
Right. Now, autonomy is different. Autonomy means that the system can actually process information, make decisions to achieve different goals, and it has to be able to handle like unexpected things, things that change. The analogy they use in AFDN 25-1 is like the difference between that factory robot, which is automation, and a self-driving car, which is autonomy. They're both programmed, but the self-driving car has to make tons of decisions in real time based on all these things that are changing around it.
That's a really good way to put it. And the document makes a point about how the Air Force already uses both automated and semi-autonomous systems to help airmen do their jobs better. And it says something interesting about how, like, every time a system, whether it's automated or semi-autonomous, completes a task successfully, it not only makes the system more reliable, but it also increases the airman's trust in the system.
Yeah.
It's building confidence, like, with every success.
Exactly. It's about building that relationship between the human and the machine. And that sets up nicely for the next part of AFDN 25-1, which is all about how AI is actually being used. Like, what does it look like in practice?
All right, so chapter 3 gets into AI application. And it starts off strong, emphasizing this idea of human-machine teaming, or HMT. So I just want to be clear, this isn't about replacing pilots with robots, is it?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
AFDN 25-1 is really clear about that. The goal is to take the best of what humans can do, you know, our intuition, our ability to reason, to understand context, and combine that with the power of AI, which is, you know, processing information really fast, analyzing huge amounts of data. And the really important thing is the human is always in charge. The airman is always the one who makes the final decision.
Okay, so it's about creating this partnership, this team that's more powerful than either one could be alone. Mm. But the document also says that, like, this human-machine relationship, it's not going to be, like, the same in every situation.
Exactly. Like, it's going to be dynamic. And air power leaders are going to have to really think about each situation. You know, what are the risks? And then decide, okay, how much control does the human need to have? If it's something where, you know, a small error isn't a big deal, maybe the AI can be more autonomous. But if the stakes are really high and a mistake would be disastrous, then you need that human supervision, close supervision.
So it's about being flexible, adapting to the situation. And AFDN 25-1 also talks about how our tactics will have to change, right, to make the most of this human-machine teaming.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't just keep doing things the way we've always done them. We have to adapt. So we need to think about how humans and machines are going to communicate, how they're going to coordinate, and really important, how we build trust in the AI. The document talks about transparency and explainability. Like, can we understand how the AI is making its decisions? Can we trust those decisions? And then there's training. Like, we need to train these human-machine teams together, like, as a unit. And the way we design these AI systems matters, too. We have to do it right from the beginning.
It's like we're entering this new world of warfare, and we need to make sure we're ready for it. So let's talk about some of the specifics. Like, how does AFDN 25-1 see AI being used across the Air Force's core functions? What about air superiority? That seems like a natural place to start.
Yeah, it is. And AI has some really amazing potential here, especially in really tough, contested environments. So for defensive counter air, you could have AI-powered systems that can detect threats early. And they can analyze all the data from air and missile defense systems and give really accurate warnings to command and control. And then for offensive counter air, you have AI that can make ISR better, make targeting more precise, and even support aircraft and missions, like everything from air patrols to suppressing enemy air defenses.
And one of the things that really caught my eye was the idea of, like, autonomous swarms of aircraft and these semi-autonomous collaborative combat aircraft, the CCAs. I mean, AFDN 25-1 even mentions that the Secretary of the Air Force actually flew in an F-16 that was controlled by AI. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
It is. And the CCA program and all the work they're doing on these autonomous collaborative platforms, the ACPs, it's really showing what's possible. Like, these semi-autonomous aircraft can work together with manned fighters, and they can be a real force multiplier for both attack missions and for ISR. It's a big change in how we think about air power.
And that makes sense, because if you can have these AI-controlled aircraft working alongside human pilots, well, it just gives you so many more options, right? You can do things you couldn't do before.
Absolutely.
Okay, what about global precision attack? You know, the idea that we need to be able to hit targets anywhere at any time, really accurately and really quickly. How does AI fit into that?
Well, AI is already being used to make targeting a lot better for both aircraft and and munitions. For instance, you can use AI-powered computer vision to identify targets really accurately, and that helps to minimize civilian casualties.
Yeah.
And AI is being used to improve stealth technology as well. And then there's the whole sensor-to-shooter idea, which is basically about connecting the systems that find the targets with the systems that, that actually engage the targets. Yeah. And AI can automate a lot of that, which makes the whole process faster.
So it's about speed, accuracy, and ultimately effectiveness.
Exactly.
What about rapid global mobility? That's crucial, especially now with the focus on agile combat employment. How's AI changing that?
So AI is being used to help figure out like the best places to set up operations, like where are the most survivable locations, where can we operate most efficiently, all those kinds of factors. And it's also being used for logistics.
Yeah.
Like AI systems can use predictive analytics to figure out when maintenance is needed to optimize how we move supplies and equipment around the world. And they're already showing some really cool results. Like AFDN 25-1 mentions this A4X project where they demonstrated this semi-autonomous airlift capability. They actually delivered like mission-critical parts during some exercises.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, it shows that AI is like, it's not just theory anymore. It's actually being used to make a difference.
Absolutely. And it's only going to get more advanced.
Okay, what about global intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance? You know, ISR, that seems like a really natural fit for AI, given how much data there is to process.
Yeah, for sure. And the potential is pretty amazing. Like, imagine AI that can take all the information coming in from all these different sources, satellites, drones, everything, and then it can fuse it all together in real time, is what they're calling multimodal AI. And it could change everything about how we understand the battle space. It's about getting rid of the blind spots, the gaps in our knowledge. And then there's autonomous ISR platforms, which could be used to collect information in really dangerous places, places we wouldn't want to send humans.
So it's about getting a clearer picture and getting it faster and potentially getting it from places we couldn't get it before.
Exactly.
All right. Last but not least, command and control. How's AI impacting that?
So AI can help with like a lot of the really key functions like targeting, allocating resources, planning, scheduling, all the stuff that commanders have to do, especially in these multi-domain operations where you've got like air, land, sea, space, cyber all happening at the same time. And it can also make our communications more resilient, like more survivable. So if a communication link goes down, AI can automatically reroute the data. Or if like higher level command is disrupted, it can automatically send information down to lower level units.
Okay.
So they can keep fighting effectively.
So it's about making sure that command and control can keep working, even in really challenging situations.
Exactly.
Okay. And one of the big ideas that AFDN 25-1 talks about is this idea of autonomous collaborative platforms, the ACPs, and that includes the CCAs we talked about, but also like collaborative aircraft for all sorts of missions and mobility, surveillance, bombing, even training. It seems like this is really central to how the Air Force sees the future of air power.
Yeah, it's definitely a big part of the vision. And the CCAs are a really good example. Like they're designed to work seamlessly with human pilots,
yeah,
to give them better situational awareness, to make them more lethal, to help them survive. And the development of CCAs it's building on all the work they've done with these experimental platforms like the XQ-58A and the XQ-67A. And cost effectiveness is a big focus too. Like they're really trying to make these systems affordable. And now we're seeing the next generation of CCAs, like the YFQ-42A and the YFQ-44A.
It's really interesting to see how this is all evolving. So okay, we've talked a lot about the potential and the challenges and all these different applications, but chapter 4 of AFDN 25-1 gets into like the nitty-gritty of actually making this work. It's titled Considerations for Employment.
Yeah, this is where it gets like really practical. Like, okay, how do we actually make this happen? And the document starts by saying that the Air Force needs to be ready to take all these amazing advances that are happening in the commercial world with AI and use them to their advantage. But they also need to make sure they're doing it within the rules, you know, the existing policies and whatever new policies come up. And then they lay out a bunch of really important things that planners and commanders need to think about.
So let's break those down. The first one is AI ready force. Now that sounds like it's more than just having people understand like the basics of AI.
It is. Yeah. You actually say AI fluency beyond simple literacy, which means Like, airmen need to really understand how AI can be used in their specific jobs, how to make sense of the information that AI gives them, and how to, like, actually interact with these systems effectively. Like, they need to be comfortable using them, giving feedback, helping to make them better.
So it's not just about knowing what AI is, it's about being able to use it effectively, to be fluent in it, like you said. And that makes sense, because if you're going to be working with these systems all the time, you need to be able to really understand them.
Yeah, exactly. And then the next big one is data, which, I mean, it makes sense. Data is like the fuel for AI.
For sure. So what does AFDN 25-1 say about that?
Well, they basically say that data has to be treated like a really valuable asset. Like, everyone in the Air Force needs to understand how important data is. And that means we need to be really good at managing data, at collecting it, and making sure it's, like, high-quality data. Because the better the data, the better the AI will be. They also talk about things like data ownership and security, especially when you're working with companies and universities and all these outside groups.
Right, because you've got to make sure that the data is protected and that everyone's on the same page about who owns it and how it can be used.
Exactly. And then there's the issue of compute. Like, the computing power you need to actually run these AI systems is huge.
Yeah, that makes sense. These systems are doing a lot of heavy lifting, computationally speaking.
They are. And the document says that we're going to need to invest in more powerful computers, in better infrastructure. And when they're planning to use AI, they're going to have to think about all these things, like, how much computing power do we need? How much data storage? What about communications and security and energy consumption? And they also talk about open source AI tools and tools that you can buy commercially and how those can be really helpful, because they can be really powerful.
We hope you enjoyed this demonstration of an amazing AI tool. The discussion on the AI Doctrine Note was very thorough and true to the document for the most part, but you may have noticed a few small errors while listening. Again, we did not edit the AI-generated discussion, but at points, you may have heard small audible breaks and skips that sound similar to rough editing of audio clips. Also, there were a few small mispronunciations, such as when the speakers discussed AFWERX. In this situation, AFWERX is a non-traditional word, and a mispronunciation of a specialized word or acronym is understandable. LLMs in general, and this tool specifically, use predictive analysis to choose word strings. As you can see, Notebook LM does a great job to create a natural flowing and logical discussion on a provided source document. However, due to the manner in which LLMs mimic human understanding through predictive analysis, oversimplification or miscontext are possible. For example, when discussing human-machine teaming, the discussion focused on human control of AI. When we wrote the Doctrine Note, we included a vignette that provided some of the common mental models for envisioning meaningful human control of AI systems. Specifically, we discuss human in the loop, human on the loop, and human off the loop. However, we point out that the current DoD standard per DoD Directive 3000.09, Autonomy and Weapons Systems, is for AI system employment to have an appropriate level of human judgment used when deciding what decisions and actions the AI system will control. In this instance, the LLM simply picked up on one set of wording but missed the context statements making the current DoD policy clear. This example is also a great illustration of the point I made in the introduction. Generative AI tools make errors in mimicking human reasoning and interpretations, but the results are often very believable, especially when the user is either uninformed on the topic area or uninformed on AI tools' strengths and weaknesses. For this reason, and as the AI Doctrine Note points out, we encourage listeners to take steps to gain a deeper understanding of AI capabilities, but also understand its limitations. Understanding will be critical to airmen personally exercising the responsible level of human judgment paramount in employing AI for mission execution. Overall, though, this particular AI tool, and many like it, both commercially available and those created within DoD, show amazing capabilities, but do need involvement of expert humans and other quality control tools when 100% accuracy is critical. We hope you enjoyed today's discussion of the AI Doctrine Note utilizing an AI tool. As a reminder to all listeners, all topics discussed are unclassified, and the views expressed by guests or hosts are not necessarily the position of the United States Air Force, Department of Defense, or any government agency. We'll see you next time on the Air Force Doctrine Podcast.